Good morning.
Love
Welcome
Talk
to
Radio.
Hope Is Now, a blog talk radio series sponsored by the Respite, a center for grief and hope. Good morning. My name is Mandy Epley, and I am here with my partner in crime and producer of my show, Cindy Bolero. And we are so excited to be with you today and be bringing this new series to you, Conversations with Counselor Mandy, Inspired Stories of Hope. And this morning, I'm very honored and excited and even a little nervous. My dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi, is with us today. Chris is the co-author of The Model of Heart-Centered Grief with me, The Seven Steps of Grief and Hope. So I'm super excited and privileged that Chris is with us today. Good morning, Chris. Are you there?
Good morning, Mandy. Yes, I am here. How are you today?
Hello. Hello, my friend. Good morning. I'm so looking forward to this hour together. And
so
what
am
I'm
I.
going to... Oh, yes. Thank you. And what I'm going to do for you listeners is I'm going to take a few moments and introduce you to Chris and what we'll be doing today, and then we will get into the meat and the bones of our interview session today with Chris. So I want to say that it's really a privilege for me to be sharing Chris with all of you listeners today. Chris is a mighty spirit of heart and a man who has truly devoted his life to teaching people around incredible ideas and transformational tools and techniques around authenticity, passion, around really grief and hope, around justice, solidarity, peace. And I'm really excited, Chris, to be sharing you, your work, and your ideas, and our work with The Model, with our listeners, and with people that will be listening to this in the months ahead as they visit the website and download our session together.
Thank you. Thank you, Mandy.
Yeah. So speaking about Chris, so you have all have a sense of who this man is. Chris was born into a Christian family in Lebanon. Chris experienced firsthand the devastation of the Lebanese War, where he was involved in peace work for over a decade. His peace-building involvement led him to develop a great respect for diversity, a passion for peace and justice, and to become the director of three nonprofit organizations. He...
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Cindy.
Hi.
Hey.
Yes. For some reason, Mandy's just dropped the call, so hang on a second. She's going to call back.
Okay.
Hi there, I'm back.
Hey.
Okay, so hey there. So we had some technical difficulties, and those lacks happen, don't they? So I, with a little humor, I want to say welcome back to our show on initiation, and I'm going to finish. I want to finish sharing, introducing Chris, and where I was at was saying that Chris is a therapist, a life coach, the founder of the Institute for Life Leadership and Coaching, where he has led more than 200 psychological and spiritual retreats for heart-centered living, and volunteers and advisor for the Grief and Hope Center, The Respite. As co-director of the Olive Branch Center with his wife, Jesse Thompson, Chris teaches courses on socially engaged spirituality and the mysticism of personal authenticity, solidarity, and inclusion. He is also the author of Second Wave Spirituality, Passion for Peace, Passion for Justice. Chris Saadi lives in San Diego, California. So, Chris, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to say also that Chris has out, in addition to his book, Second Wave Spirituality, Passion for Peace, Passion for Justice, which I have to say is an incredible work, and we'll be speaking about that today. He also has audio programs available that can be found on Amazon. An evolutionary vision of relationships, the spirituality of romantic love that he co-created with Andrew Harvey, and a new book coming out, Chris, that is called Prayers from the Heart, Love, Sacred Activism, and Praise, an ebook that is available and is also in Audible form on Amazon and iTunes. So welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Mandy. It's a privilege and an honor to be with you, and you are such a powerful voice for allowing grief to become a blessing in our lives and allowing grief to become a journey of initiation. So it is an honor to be with you, Mandy.
Oh, thank you. So what I'm going to do is take a few moments, and overall, for people that are listening and becoming familiar with our work for the very first time, to do a very brief summary of the model. And then I'm going to ask you, Chris, to speak about step three, initiation. And then we're going to move into speaking about you, which I'm really excited about. So for those of you that don't know and who are joining us for the first time, Chris and I have co-created the seven-step process called the Seven Steps of Grief and Hope, the Model of Heart-Centered Grief. And this is available at therespite.org, and it is available for a donation of $10 to receive streaming of all seven sessions, or you can purchase the hard copy DVDs on our website as well. So this model is Chris and I looking at the camera as we are guiding you and coaching you through these seven steps. So it's as though you have us with you in the privacy of your own home coaching you through these empowering steps of grief and hope. And what I want to say about these steps is they are not a stage model. They are how to move through your grief in an empowered way, in a transformational way, and in a way that catapults you into your own calling and into what is juicy and meaningful for you that will help you feel awake and alive and bring great meaning to your life. So we teach you theories and ideas with lots of support, but we're also giving you practical tools as well, which we all are looking for when we're looking for hope and inspiration, and even when we're hurting. So, Chris, I would love so much, would you take a moment and share from your perspective why you and I co-created this model together?
Oh, my God. Well, Mandy, you know, you in your work as a therapist and as a coach and in my own work and the spiritual training that I have done in my life, we have seen that one of the great hurdles to be able to live a life that is passionate and exciting and meaningful is the inability of most of us to deal with the challenge of grief. Because grief is a part of every one's life. There are losses, there are defeats, there are breakdowns that happens in everybody's life. And how we deal with that grief will determine if that grief will turn into greater passion and greater love and greater service in our life, or if it will shrink our heart, numb our heart, and close our heart. So there's no way around it. And that's why you and I came together and decided to write down a model allowing people to know the steps that they can take to mine their grief for great blessings, to be able to befriend their grief so their grief becomes the portal of a life of adventure and fulfillment and love.
Yes. I mean, that again, completely re-inspires me again to hear that. And I hope for each of you that are listening that it inspires you, that your story, what has happened to you in your life, it brings you incredible dignity, and as Chris was saying, which I love this, it's the portal, it's the gateway into a deeply meaningful life that is juicy and even full of joy and fun, and that is possible. And quite simply, we all experience loss anyway. So it's a very, on some level, Chris, it's a very practical thing that we did. I mean, we all experience times when we're dropped to our knees anyway. So let's find, the keys and the ideas and the tools and the steps that will bring great meaning and joy instead of numbing out and feeling as though we've lost out on our lives or feeling victimized. So thank you for those words.
You're welcome. And Mandy, I want to underline that the way we have designed the model, which we have, and you mentioned that in the beginning, we have created 7 sessions on the DVD or the download on the website, where we coach people session after session after session in how to move through these 7 steps. So people will have something available in their own living room, in their own privacy. They will have us be their personal coaches through the process. So it's not only speaking about the ideas, but guiding people step by step.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. Thank you so much. And Chris, if you would, so as we move through the 7 steps, you and I are speaking about step 3 of the 7 steps of grief and hope today. And step 3 is initiation. And would you share with the listeners your perspective on grief and initiation? What are we saying by that? What do we mean by that?
Well, like we were saying, that in everyone's life, there are moments in life when we come to crossroads, or we might use the metaphor of a bridge. We are crossing a bridge, and that bridge started shaking, and part of the bridge starts to break down. And we realize that the solidity of our life, or life as we have known it, is being shaken. And we realize that we have to deal with some losses in our life. Losses that impact us very, very deeply. Losses that bring tears to us, that bring grief to us. Losses that sometimes are very hard to be able to accept or to handle. Losses that many times bring us to our knees. And that is part of the journey of every human being. There are times in our life where we have to cross these bridges, and these bridges are heartbreaking. However, if we approach that crossing of that bridge from the perspective of the heart, we realize that that moment of deep grief is actually a birth pang. That pain is a birth pang of a pregnancy, that is happening
yeah.
in us, a pregnancy that is happening in our spirit, that there is something that is ready to be born in us. And these
yes.
birth pangs can be very painful. But I think as women have taught us, and the women in my life who went through pregnancy have taught me, that when you look at the pain, knowing that it is a pregnancy and knowing that a child is going to be born, it doesn't necessarily diminish the pain itself, but it changes everything about the pain. It changes
yeah.
everything to know that that pain is part of a pregnancy, is a birth pang of a pregnancy.
Oh, yes.
And that
That's
pain,
beautiful.
That pain at a deep level is initiating us into
mm-hmm.
a greater and larger and wider understanding of who we are in the world, our place in the world, and what it means to love. So
yes.
I would like, if I may briefly, to touch
yeah.
on four consequences of that initiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, and I know you have seen that in my own life, and I will talk more about it later, but when I went through tremendous pain in my life, and that happened several times, and I did not in the beginning know about the concept of initiation, that pain
yeah.
brought me to the throes of despair
right.
and started pushing me into depressive places because I couldn't
yeah.
make any sense of it. But when I understood that that was how we are initiated in life, then...
Mm-hmm.
It allowed me to approach it in a very, very different way. So four consequences of that initiation. One, as we speak about it in the first two steps of the model, that the pain, if held from the perspective of the heart and seen through the wisdom of the heart, opens us up to the universal self that lives in us. It's like we start breaking out of the cocoon that isolates us into an isolated individual, and we realize that we are part. We are
yeah.
part of a larger reality. We are part of others' people. We enter in solidarity with the struggles and the pain and the hopes and the disappointment and the aspirations of millions of others who share with us that pain. So
yeah.
the cocoon is broken and we develop a greater knowledge of a universal self that lives in us that is still very specific to us, but is a much bigger dimension of who we are.
Yeah.
Second, we come to know who we are at a level that we have never known before.
Yes.
If we allow
yes.
grief to initiate us, we become to know our own authenticity. We it's like
yeah.
all of life.
You become a you
moment.
Or you. You become
exactly.
a you or you.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
our friend Maritza talks about Dr. Seuss's line, you become a more
exactly.
you or you.
yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It's like all of life stops at that moment, and then we have to look inward and say, who am I? Who am I?
Yes.
What is my authenticity? And what are the feelings that live in me? What is the passion that lives in me in a unique way? It brings us to
mm-hmm.
to that understanding of our unique
yeah.
authenticity. It turns our
yeah.
eyes inward so we can see the amazing, beautiful, however unique, authentic spirit and unique, authentic passion that we carry. Now, the third consequence is we learn to love. We learn to love at a level much bigger than we've ever done before. There is nothing that teaches love. Yeah, yeah. There is nothing that teaches love as our own tears. Now,
yeah.
if held from the heart, otherwise they become bitterness. But if we hold the tears from the heart, they make us gentler people. They make us more compassionate people. They make us more sensitive people. We learn how to love. We start sensing in our darkest moment. We start sensing the presence of love in us, through us, and within us.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing, we are initiated through pain into our calling in life. Because it is those places that break us, that tell us what is our destiny, what we are called to make a difference in the world, how we are called to bring greater peace, bring greater justice, bring greater solidarity in the world. It is in these moments of breaking that the calling, our calling starts to reveal itself to us. So if we allow ourselves to really grasp the understanding that this is not just bad luck that is happening to us, but it is how we as human beings are initiated into our calling, then we allow that process to make us bigger, to make us richer, to make us more loving, and to make us more aware of the meaning of our life, the deeper meaning of our life into its calling and service.
Wow! I mean, I want all you listeners to know, do you see why I want you to hear about Chris and about his work? These ideas, my friends, will save your life. They will save, and what I'm saying to you is they will save the quality of your life. They will wake you up into the authenticity of your being and where your grief has been guiding you. What's so amazing about what you've been saying, Chris, is that, and what we know from our life experiences, is that what truly brings us these gifts is grief. How we learn about who we are is through our grief. So what we're bringing is a different view, a transformational perspective that the ancients have known, that though our grief hurts, breaks us, it is also a powerful gift to teach us about who we are and what you spoke about around loving more deeply, learning more about our own spirits, the authenticity and uniqueness of who we each are, and about guiding us towards our calling, which is about why we're here. It's about our own individual birthrights, as we've spoken about before.
Exactly. You know, in older mythologies, the Greek mythologies, the Phoenician mythologies, and a lot, many of the American Indian mythologies, life will send you two messengers that will bring you tremendous wisdom and blessings. One of them is great grief. Great grief is a messenger from life. Not that that messenger made you have the losses, but that messenger will carry the wisdom of the losses. And the other messenger is great joy. I mean, our great joy also brings a lot of wisdom and inspiration and revelation to us. And as we speak, when we talk about the step of paradox, how we learn to welcome both of these messengers and to fully welcome in our life the grief that is unavoidable and to also fully welcome the joy and learn from both of them the great visions of life. But what the ancients knew is that the place of brokenness is sacred. It is holy ground. It is holy ground, because in those moments where we cannot see anymore, we're like in a fog, we are confused, we start trembling, we start sweating, we start wondering how we're going to make it. In these moments, it's important to remember that there is a process happening and there is a pregnancy being healed, and that there is a birth that's going to happen out of that dark moment that will bless us tenfold to where we were before.
Yes, my friend, and we have seen that in people's lives that we've worked with, and we've seen that in our own lives. And I want to take a moment to say, for those of you that would like to know more about Chris and about his work, that Chris has a book out that came out last May. It's Second Wave Spirituality, Passion for Peace, Passion for Justice. He also has an audio program available, an evolutionary vision of relationships, the spirituality of romantic love, and it's available on audio through Amazon, through iTunes, and I have to say that series is so powerful that you co-created with Andrew Harvey. And then your new ebook that's out, Prayers from the Heart, Love, Sacred Activism, and Praise. And so for those of you that are interested, we'll have those posted on our Respite Facebook page later where you can find that information and on information on the Respite website. So, Chris, I want to give these listeners an opportunity to learn a little bit more about you and to learn about you in a really, you know, intimate way. And so if you would you share with us one of the great heartbreaks in your own life and how that heartbreak or loss initiated you into your calling?
Sure. You know, as you know, Mandy, I was raised in a family where there was a lot of emotional abuse. And
yeah.
So growing up was very, very difficult for me, very difficult. And I had many, many experiences of anxiety that was going haywire. I had a lot of physical health problem out of the abuse. And I also had bouts with depression. And so when I turned about 18 to 20 years old, I was so looking forward to start my life anew, so to speak, and to be able to leave home and get myself going. And I started a business, actually, a supermarket with my brother in Beirut, Lebanon, and I was really looking forward to a break, so to speak. And then at that time, in my early 20s, the war broke out in Lebanon, and it was very similar to what's happening in Syria right now. So Lebanon got devastated. Now, during that time, at an early age, about 14, I had joined a Christian peace group. So we were doing a lot of peace work and humanitarian work in Lebanon. And when the war broke out, of course, I continued my work with that peace group and another peace group. However, what happened is by the age of 28 is the time when I left Lebanon, by the age of 28, I had lost my home. My family had lost their home. We had our business was totally destroyed, sacked, and taken. We had land, and that was also taken from us. My whole family became totally broke. We became refugees in our own country, and we had several times the gun was put on our head, and by the grace of God, we were not executed.
Yeah.
And I had several friends that I cared a lot for that I saw die in that war. So by the age of 28, when I decided that I had to leave Lebanon with my wife of then, it was a time of incredible devastation. And I remember I went to France at that time and then ended up in the United States after that. But when I went to France, I remember sitting there and thinking, you know, I lived a childhood where I had to undergo a lot of abuse and barely survived it. And then when I wanted to go for a break, my world collapsed. And I was in a very dire financial situation and emotional situation. And I remember saying to myself, you know, I mean, if it's not for bad luck, I wouldn't have had any luck at all. Like my God, what is happening in my life? And despair would visit me. I mean, a sense of deep despair, like, you know, what have I been given the wrong card in life? My heart was broken. I was anguished. I was lost. And then through two things, my eyes started to open up. One is I'm a person who's connected with the divine and who has faith. And I had a very strong faith experience that brought me back to the promise of life.
Yeah.
But also, I started studying Joseph Campbell, studying Carl Jung, and studying mythology, and realizing that, oh, my God, everyone in their life will go through an experience that will devastate their heart. And that experience will either become a great pregnancy or it will become the beginning of inner death. And I had to choose. I had to choose which road I'm going to take and look at my experience. And I said, I definitely want the initiation. So I started praying for the initiation, studying about the initiation. I started realizing that beneath the pain, so to speak, there were rivers of life moving through me through that pain. That there was something really powerful moving through me. And I was like, oh, God, help me, help me understand what is moving through me, understand what was being born in me. And as I listened to that initiatory process in my own self, I started realizing the great call developing in myself to serve the cause of peace and the cause of justice. And I realized that a passion was being born. It's like under the rubbles. You know, under the rubbers, you see these a fire being started, and like a phoenix arising, and I started feeling like a deep passion was being born in me, a passion that, if I want to speak poetically, had wings, gave me wings, and I started, and you know, Mandy, the process did not happen overnight. Of course, now it was very mixed for a long time, so I would go with moments of, oh, my God, this is too much, I can't bear it, to moments of, oh, my God, this is so powerful what is moving through me. But as I started focusing more on what is moving through me and what is being born in me, and as I was starting to understand that idea of initiation, and understanding me played a big role in my life, because as I understood, I created a greater space for that which was happening in me. And I started listening. And then my calling got clearer, my passion got bigger. And what I realized, Mandy, is my wounds became part of my pride, Rather than feeling that I had missed on life or that I had gotten a screwed up life or that I was victimized, I realized that I was being that had turned into an initiation, and that these wounds became part of the wealth of my own spirit, like they are the wealth of any spirit that will navigate them with a vision of initiation.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Chris, for sharing with us a part of your incredible story. And for you friends that are listening, what I want you to be thinking about is the power and the beauty within your own story. That as you hear Chris speak about the pain and the devastation and at times the despair, what were the things that he did? What are the things that you can do to study, to reach out for support, and to hold your journey with great dignity? There are two things in particular that you said that really grabbed me today, Chris, is that, you know, you said beneath the pain, the rivers of life were running through me.
Yes.
And I so resonate with that. I remember myself as a young girl being in incredible emotional pain, so much angst. I mean, I thought I was at times inside dying. And I remember, you know, reading about Harriet Tubman when I had first moved to the South, and remember identifying with that Underground Railroad and that sense of there is something underground running through me beneath this pain that is guiding me and teaching me and taking me into my leadership, teaching me that my losses are teaching me about my character, about who I am and what I'm meant to do in the world. And what I also adore about what you're saying is that you began to see your wounds with great dignity. And I'm just, you know, I'm imagining, you know, each of us, all of us as human beings, you know, adorned with beautiful medals, you know, and purple hearts and medals of honor around, you know, and these incredible ceremonies honoring the blessings also in our wounds. And you're speaking about that so powerfully.
Yeah. I mean, we both know, Mandy, the importance, the incredible importance of wisdom, acquiring wisdom as we go through the threatening, deafening, confusing, and emotionally bloodying experiences of losses. Because, you know, one of the big things that happened to me, and it didn't happen to me once in my life. I mean, you know, I had to cross that bridge several times in my life, and I still have bridges in my life that I have to cross also that bring that to me, is the level of confusion and blindness. It's like, you know, we get blinded by the pain, and we don't know anymore where to look. We don't know anymore how to think. We don't know anymore what meaning all of that has in our life. And that confusion is so painful. It is so painful. That sense of being blinded through it is so, it's even in many ways more painful than the pain itself. And when it is more painful than the pain itself. And when we can go through that pain with eyes that are open, with some level of what the ancients called the gnosis, which is the wisdom of life, then our eyes remain open and we start seeing through the darkness. And for anybody who's been out there in nature at night, once your eyes start seeing through the darkness, there is a great joy in that. It's like, my God, I am able to see. But not to see through the darkness can be the source of tremendous anxiety, in addition to the pain itself, in addition to the loss itself, and also the source of possible depression. But it's not the myth in our culture is that it is the loss that makes us anguished, or it's the loss that makes us depressed. It's not the loss. We as human beings are genetically prepared to deal with great losses in our life. They're part of our life. I mean, people die in our life. We get sick. We have financial breakdowns. It's part of the journey. And the more we go on an adventure, the more we have losses. However, it is not that creates depression and anxiety. It is the blinding that happens where we get so confused that we don't know how to think, and the brain freezes. And when that happens, anxiety is normal, but anxiety attacks develop, and then depression starts to settle in.
Yes. Well, Chris, you're organically taking me into something I wanted to share with our listeners today, is this: the importance, as we're moving through initiation, to say no to shame. And you're introducing that so beautifully, because what you're saying is that, you know, it's a myth that we cannot handle grief or losses, or that grief is our enemy. But as you were saying, we're genetically designed, biologically designed to deal with loss as human beings. And that it's the devastation and being shaken in our shoes that takes us to great fear, anxiety attacks, and also it's the shame that is present now in our culture that, quite simply, it's not okay to grieve. And you have been such a powerful teacher around saying no to shame. I wanted to give you an opportunity to say whatever on your heart around saying no to shame and initiation.
I mean, you are so right, Mandy. That is a crucial, crucial, crucial element of liberation in our life, is fighting shame and freeing ourselves from shame. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of shame in our culture. Unfortunately, any culture that buys into domination and oppression, if it's through patriarchy or through whatever big mega forces want to dominate, domination always peddles the idea of shame, because shame can paralyze others and make them malleable to domination. It's the same thing like in an abusive family, you know, the children are shamed, so the children lose their power to be able to stand up.
Yes, yes.
And what is shamed, two things that are shamed that are crucial. One is our authenticity is shamed. Who we are in our own uniqueness, in our own unique personality, unique self, unique passion, unique inclination, unique liking and dislikes. You know, who we are as this amazing, unique human individual, that is shame. Because we should fit.
Yeah.
We should fit into family patterns, social patterns, educational patterns, political patterns. Then we find it very hard to breathe, like they're putting clothes on us that don't fit us, and then the body cannot breathe. So our authenticity is shame. But the second thing that is shame is grief and loss are shame. So there's two false myths that we live by around that grief. One is the economic myth about, you know, if you are, you know, strong enough and smart enough, you will make it and you will always make it and you'll always succeed. Therefore, if you are struggling, there's something wrong with you. And not understanding that struggle is an inherent part of any journey. I mean, just go see the movie The Hobbit. I mean, you will see that. You know, go see The Lord of the Rings. Go see Star Wars. They will tell you that struggle is part of life. But we have sent the message that if you go through a moment, for example, where in your life you're impoverished, or you lose your business, or you go through a difficult time, then there's something wrong with you. So there is that sense of shame. And the other one is that if you are spiritual enough, you will not grieve. You'll be happy all the time. You'll be smiling all the time, which is an unbelievable denial of our humanity. Because
my
journey, the more spiritual I am, the more joy I have, but the more grief I have because I have more.
Isn't that the truth?
So shame. So our grief is shamed by the culture of domination that tells us if you don't win the game, there's something is wrong with you, and that's why we look at people in poverty like, oh, it's their own fault, and we don't want to help, or we don't want to give them opportunities because, like, well, shame on them. And second, you know, we look at we are spiritually, unfortunately, a lot of teachers who teach that positive spirituality make us feel ashamed of our important human journey to greater individuation.
Yes.
So we need to break that shame. We need to realize, as we do in our model, the first step of the model is affirm the sacredness of your grief. Now, to feel a victim is something we don't want to go there because that will disempower us. But there is a difference between victimization and grief. Our grief, our struggles, our losses, our defeats are part of the sacred unfolding of our life. So we got to fight that shame. And that's on an individual level. I know we can talk about it collectively too, but it is extremely important to reclaim the beauty of our unique authenticity and to reclaim the beauty of our grief. I mean, the real beauty of our grief as well as the beauty of our joy.
Oh, I love that so much. I know that people that are listening are being so deeply touched, and people that will hear this in the future will really get what we're saying, that we have to say no to those forces and messages in our own minds and that are out in the culture, that we're supposed to be like everybody else. And that if we're struggling and that if we're hurting, I have to say, I mean, for me, you know, and I do feel about this in a very raw way, and I often speak about it in a very raw way. I mean, quite honestly, it just, you know, it just outrages me. It outrages me. I mean, the amount of cuss words that are going through my mind right now, I'm not going to say them because Cindy's here, but I mean, the amount of fury that I have around our being denied the beauty of our full human journey and why these seven steps and this particular step around claiming, you know, as a great warrior or warrioress, you know, thinking of the Native American Indians and the pride of the ceremony of being initiated,
yes,
you know,
yes,
or, you
yes.
know, our brothers and sisters who have, you know, initiate their children when they enter into, you know, it, like, for example, our Jewish brothers and sisters and their faith, you know, a bar mitzvah, you know, around
right.
how to
right.
honor this initiatory right. blessing in our lives, and that this
right.
is what is happening to us when we experience loss, when we experience
exactly.
change, and to trust it. Chris, I want to give you, I have a question I'm going to ask you at the end, but I want to give you room to speak about, my friend, about your work, about second wave spirituality, about your new book that's come out, Prayers from the Heart, anything that you want to share with our listeners.
Thank you.
About this
thank
incredible
you.
Work that you're doing in the world.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, the book Second Wave Spirituality, Passion for Peace, Passion for Justice, is a book that was inspired by a research that I had done for about 20 years. I have, since my experience of the peace movement in Lebanon, and I have been observing a development of a new angle on spirituality that is coming to life, a new way we are perceiving spirituality. And it is, in my opinion, it is one of the greatest developments in human thoughts, probably for the last 7,000 years. And I stand by that. And we're
yeah.
seeing it happening worldwide. But how it relates to our talk about grief is that in this development of this, what I call second wave spirituality, or we can speak an emergence of an engaged spirituality, or an emergence of a spirituality that is focused on love in action. What is happening there is that, one, people are starting to acknowledge that their grief is sacred, and they are starting to feel their grief. They feel their individual grief and their grief for the earth, their grief for the land and the water and the animals, their grief for the impoverished people, the grief for the children who are not given the opportunity to study, if they are girls or boys, for the children who are not given medical support. It is, we are starting to realize that our grief is part of our intelligence and our great empathy. While before,
yeah.
for a long time, we have numbed our grief, and so we have blinded our eyes because we wanted to be positive all the time, happy-peaceful all the time. And we looked at grief as negative, 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 so we could not
yeah.
relate to the earth itself that was struggling and to the children. For example, the refugee children right now in Syria, there's about several million refugees in Lebanon itself, for example. And now Lebanon is going through a huge winter storm. And refugee children are dying right there, just out of cold, just out of cold and without food. Our grief today is allowing us to start feeling the prayer of these children in our heart, and it's moving us into love and action. So
yeah.
what this new approach to spirituality is doing, one is allowing grief to open up our intelligence and our social sense of responsibility and our connection
yeah.
with the earth. Second, part of this new trend in spirituality is to go back to authenticity, to say that the purpose of a spiritual journey is not to live by the 10 rules of spirituality or the 10, 12 rules of this or that, but it is
right.
to discover your uniqueness and to trust that uniqueness and to love that uniqueness. It's about embodying the spirit that either life or God has given you. But
yeah.
What is also fascinating is in that development of this engaged spirituality that is happening in every religion in every country, from Aung San Suu Kyi in Burma in the Buddhist tradition to Malala in the Islamic tradition in Pakistan to people in the Christian tradition and the Jewish tradition. We're seeing it all over the world, people saying, let us feel the suffering of the world. Let us get involved in love and action, and let us do it from an authentic place, not by following any patriarchal rule or organization or whatever. But also, they are starting to see that the suffering of the world today, because we know how much suffering there is with this high level of terrorism, with the environmental crisis, with this disparity in income that has reached unbelievable levels. All of that is bringing tremendous grief in our world. And for a lot of people, it's bringing despair. But what I speak about in the book, that those who are looking at it as a collective initiation, that this is the time for us to ask the question, what new pregnancy is happening in us with a new vision for our world, a vision of love and action? So then the tremendous pain can be transformed into this pregnancy of a development of a vision of spirituality and psychology that is based on authenticity and love and action. And what is happening is millions of people are starting to awake to social service and peaceful work for peace, work for justice. So that initiation can have immense possibilities. If we look at that pain as a call to initiation, to global initiation as well, to individual initiation. So that's, in a nutshell, summarizing this second wave spirituality, this big new wave of spiritual looking that is much more human, much more grounded, much more earth-based. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And love-based.
Yes, and that it allows the specificity of you know, the individuality of each being to give back from a place of love, a place that naturally flows, and the awakening that's happening. It's like the more I am more me, more and more authentically my spirit, the more energy I have. I mean, my passion is endless for this work. I mean, I empty myself out, and then I'm naturally refueled over and over again. It's this incredible mystery. It's like I work really hard, and then it refuels me again and again, because I'm doing it in the flow of the authenticity of who I am in partnership with others. And the igniting that you're speaking about, this vision of, you know, reformulating how we see grief and understanding that it takes us into love, and that love catapults us into wanting. We naturally want to give back. We naturally want to help the earth, the planet, the animals, human beings. And grateful for your work.
And watching you, Mandy, watching you, your own life, which having been privileged to be your friend and your spiritual companion on that journey, watching you, you have known immense pains. You have crossed that bridge of pain so many times in your life, but you have allowed it to initiate you in a passion, like you're saying, that has reformulated your approach to grief, but has also given you this, like you say, this energy that keeps on, this phoenix in you that keeps on arising, even in very, very hard and difficult times, for the work of helping others cross that bridge with their head high and their heart open.
Yeah.
And out of your pain, my God, what passion, what dedication,
what service you have
brought to our community.
Thank you so much, my friend. We have
and
5 minutes left. Yeah.
Just take a quick minute to just underline the importance of that. The word you use was so beautiful, the reformulation. It's so important to reformulate our personal grief as sacred initiation, and to reformulate the grief of the world so we can listen to new visions of peace and justice and solidarity that are being born in us. It's tremendously important.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, my friend. The earth needs that. Humanity is relying, waiting on us to do that very thing, that our individual stories add up to the collective story that bring the shift that our planet needs.
Exactly. The earth and the children, I believe, are screaming in our souls. Their prayers are becoming a fire in our soul. The earth and the children saying, awake, awake to your passion. Find your unique calling to serve. It's not about gurus. It's not about big spiritual leaders that are going to tell us what to do. It's about each individual in their own small circle of existence, finding the great passion that says, I will contribute back to the earth and I will do something that will impact children who are suffering. Because the prayers, the screaming of the earth and the prayers of the children are part of our own psyche, of our own soul. We cannot not listen anymore.
Right.
We have to respond with passion.
Well, I want to, again, speak the name of your book and your new book available. Chris's book is Second Wave Spirituality, Passion for Peace, Passion for Justice. He has this incredible audio program available that he co-created with Andrew Harvey, An Evolutionary Vision of Relationships, The Spirituality of Romantic Love, that's available in audio from audible.com, Amazon, and iTunes. And his new ebook, Prayers from the Heart, Love, Sacred Activism, and Praise, available in audio from audible.com, Amazon, and iTunes. And with the moment that we have left, I wanted to ask you, Chris, in a few words, to speak about what, and we only have a minute or two, what helps you stay inspired, my friend?
What? Sorry, say that again.
What helps you stay inspired?
Well, to say it very, very briefly, is the passion that has been lit in my heart that doesn't go away. And second, hearing, truly hearing in my own soul, the screams and the prayers of the children and the suffering of the earth. And that keeps me inspired. And I want to say very, very quickly that I highly recommend to all our listeners the to go and get the recording either on a DVD or on different devices of this model of 7 steps for grieving from the heart, because it will really support you and help you through crossing these bridges, and it will give you like immediate personalized coaching support, because we all need to develop that. And the Respite has made a very, very expensive production available at almost nothing. So you
can have it,
and then you can share it with your friends, and you can give it as gifts to others. I mean, what a gift.
I know. Well, we are at the end. We want it to spread around the world. Thank you for your generosity, sharing your story, sharing your wisdom with us. We hope that this session alone will reach many, many people. Have a wonderful day, listeners. And again, thank you. You can check all of this out at therespite.org. Have a blessed day. Thank you, Chris. Bye.
Thank you, Mandy. Bye-bye.
Bye.